began our service this morning with palms and hosannas, pieces of the story about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem that final Sunday before his crucifixion and resurrection. These stories that are shared by the gospel writers of Matthew and Mark and John. But the writer of Luke, the scripture you just heard Tom read, gives us no hosannas and no palms. Luke is pure praise, powerful praise. I'm thinking it probably sounded something like this. No man can hinder thee. No hosannas. Powerful praise. So what's going on here? Who are these people praising Jesus? What's the deal with the donkey? Why is there a confrontation? Why on a Sunday on which we celebrate the palms and the hosannas would your pastor intentionally select the scripture that mentions neither? There is a method. There are reasons. First, let me explain what happened to the hosannas. Many Christians assume that hosanna was always a Jewish word of praise. We learn it first on this Palm Sunday. But in the Old Testament, the First Testament, in the Psalms, the root of that word was more like an urgent cry for help that would, in context, lead the people to believe that God was going to save them from destruction, from oppression. Baker's Evangelical Dictionary tells us that originally Hosanna was a plea for deliverance. But Luke leaves out the Hosannas. What's that about? I think it's about followers of Jesus who know who he is and who understand themselves to be already saved. They are not calling out for mercy. I believe they're not crying out for mercy because they already understand themselves to be the recipients of God's grace. Their experience of Jesus has already saved them, and now they're acknowledging that. Their shouts are not, God save us from oppressors, or God save us from our sinful selves, or even God save us from the hell of separation from you. But rather, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who brings peace, who teaches love, who preaches mercy, who lives love. Glory to the one who's light and love, and invitation to us to live in light and in love is going to bring a radical change to this world, is going to usher in God's dominion by bringing about a radical change in each of us. We see it. We get it, at least sometimes, like now. We get it. And who are these people that are lifting this praise? They're disciples. They are not a vast, nameless, faceless crowd. They are not hundreds of thousands who have come to Jerusalem for the Passover. They are disciples of Jesus. Luke is very clear about this. They are followers of Jesus, and they are everybody. They are Jews, and they are Gentiles. And why is that important? Because it's another way in which they are like us. Matthew and Mark and John all tell the story of Jesus in a way that will resonate with the Jewish people. They tell of Jesus as the fulfillment of prophecy, as a member of the line of David, but Luke is just a little bit different. The person credited with writing this gospel down, tradition tells us, was himself a Gentile. Tradition tells us that this gave Luke, the physician, a different perspective in writing his gospel. It gave him a different focus. Luke's focus was not on Jesus as the Messiah for the Jews, but Jesus for everyone. Luke was writing for fledgling Christian disciples who didn't know all the relevance of words like Messiah and Hosanna, but did know the difference that Jesus was making. They acknowledged it with their praise. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. I believe that Luke's focus was people a lot like us. Disciples. People who are beginning to understand who Jesus really is and the impact that he has on our lives. People who get it right one day and get it wrong a week later. Who learn from their experience and keep on trying. People who disappoint each other and see each other through. People who have different opinions and different styles and still hold the same basic core values: love, spiritual growth, family, integrity, diversity. People who share bedrock beliefs in God, our Creator, who is unconditional love, in Jesus Christ, the Word, who is our Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, the power of prayer and Scripture, and that God gives us gifts of love, gifts of grace, gifts of forgiveness and salvation freely, graciously, gladly. It's not that we don't call out to Jesus to save us, that we never utter a Hosanna. We began this morning with the Hosanna. It's just that we don't stop there. We don't stop there because we believe Jesus is always and actively in the business of saving us. And so we are more focused on what we as those saved people, as those forgiven people, as those graced and gifted people need to be doing in the world. We're more focused on ministry and mission. John Hawk says, the forgiveness of God is marked for sinners only. That's the good news. He says, that's the good news that keeps me going every day. I say to myself, I am a sinner. I am imperfect. I make mistakes. I do some things right. I do some things wrong. Therefore, I am one whom Christ can save. What better news, Hawk asks, could there be for any human being? Once you experience that forgiveness, the I have paid it all for you-ness of Christ on the cross, you can be freed from the paralysis of perfectionism. In other words, you can get on with your ministry. We are fallible. We are forgiven. We are called, equipped, and sent. We are on a mission incredible, a mission we share with Jesus. We have already offered our hosannas. We are changed. We are on a mission with Jesus, and that mission has given us a different focus, just like the people in this story. And here's another way we're like the people in the story. John Dominic Crossan and Marcus Borg wrote a book called The Last Week. It's the story of Jesus' final week on earth, the week that led up to his crucifixion and then resurrection. In their book, they say there were two processions that Passover week. From the west came Pontius Pilate, draped in the gaudy glory of imperial power. He came with horses, chariots, and gleaming armor. He moved in with the Roman army at the beginning of Passover week to make sure nothing got out of hand. Insurrection was in the air with the memory of God's deliverance of the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt. It wasn't a stretch for the Roman officials to wonder if insurrection would rise again, that if the people now wouldn't want to be free from the Pharaoh of the emperor. Jesus was the other procession, coming from the east. Jesus in an ordinary robe, riding on a young donkey. Just like those disciples 2,000 years ago, we as followers of Jesus must constantly be aware that there are two processions. The procession of power and domination and the procession of justice and mercy. The question always is, where is our attention? On the Herods and the Caesars or on Christ? Even now, especially now, we are presented with constant choices. Do we focus on those who tell us that non-U.S. citizens and those who wear skin darker than a certain shade or worship differently are thugs and rapists? Or do we focus on the one who says, look closely, see if in the face of every human being you see me? Do we focus on those who tell us that more and more oil, gas, technology, and prisons are the keys to our safety? Or on the one who tells us treat everyone with love, with respect, and with dignity, and you will find you have no enemies? Do we focus on those who say the earth is ours to plunder and subdue, or on the one who says that the earth and all that is in it is God's handiwork, and that we are blessed to be stewards of this gift? We've been talking all of Lent about our mission and about how our mission might match up with Jesus's mission. Jesus's mission, incredible. And we've been looking at our own congregation's mission statement. We believe it so much, we put it in writing, that we will create hope and healing and spiritual growth, that we will connect you to God and one another, that we will affirm your journey, your joys, and today, your unique gifts. And I apologize if some of you came here expecting me to tell you all about your gifts of hospitality and your gifts of teaching. And some of you have a gift of speaking in tongues that you never told me about. And you might have come to hear all about those gifts, but I want to affirm your giftedness, that you are created in the image of God who created everything out of nothing, and that's pretty creative. You are created in the image of God who is pure love and light and goodness, and that makes you light and love and goodness. You are gifted in all of these ways. And if anyone has learned that we must share those gifts, that silence equals death, it's those of us on the margins. So I affirm you today in your giftedness. You are gifted with forgiveness and grace and mercy and goodness and generosity and hope and peace and love. You are gifted. And the proper response to those of us who understand ourselves as gifted is always praise.